But we are recording.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, March 20th, 2025. And this is a meeting of the Executive Committee for LCRDA. And we do not have any guests. I guess we do have a guest with Eric to the Executive Committee. We don't need any approval for electronic means. And I'll go ahead and ask, are there modifications to the agenda before we start with Eric? We also have a planning discussion with Eric Holmes, and we'll turn it over to Eric.
Thank you. I'll try not to take much time. The discussion we had at the last board meeting, a lot of it centered around, since a decision was made to wind down the business of LCRDA, what would happen with the final assets, and it seemed like most likely it was heading toward a situation wherein it would be divided equally between FSU and FAMU, which basically would mean it would go into a black hole that would be hard to figure out what was done with the money, how it would come out, and kind of benefit the priorities of LCRDA. So I thought there's got to be a better way. And so in view of the research and economic development emphasis of our LCRDA, I thought that there would be a simple way to divide the money up and have it applied to research projects stemming from both FAMU and FSU. Now, the nature of the research projects would not be the typical ones where you apply to NIH and get money. Those are rather safe. They're not particularly risky. And so they don't service a lot of the kind of needs that researchers have. So for example, what I was thinking of was, so let's take for a moment, you had a proposal that was developing a new version of some kind of widget or something that had a high probability of success. It would certainly qualify for what I'm talking about. But if on the other hand, you had something that was less certain that might lead to something akin to what happened with Taxol, it would be much better for the community, for everything, and make a bigger splash, and it'd be worth taking that risk. And that's the kind of thing that you would not be able to get funded in a traditional sense. And it would potentially provide a very significant benefit to the universities, to the community, and so on. So in order to do something like that, you'd have to have certain criteria. You'd have to have patent protected, either patent issued patents or pending patents on some kind of technology, and it would also have to have something that had made sense, that had some potential utility in an economic development framework. So I think that's doable. I think there are opportunities at FSU, at FAMU as well, where we can do that. There's going to be some amount of money, undetermined at the present time, left over. There's also, as I understand it, that piece of land that could also be sold, and that money used in this context as well, and fund a number of these things at kind of a fixed amount. I mean, SRDA is not going to be around to kind of keep an eye on this. So if you just took, you had a pot of money, and let's say you're going to make six grants, you divide that number by six, and that's what the award is, end of story. There would be ways to kind of oversee that money, perhaps having biannual progress reports to the respective VPR, the Vice President for Research, at each institution. At the end, a report could be also provided to the Leon County Commission to memorialize what was done in the name of LCRDA. So that sort of thing. Okay, so what does LCRDA have to do, and how do we get this done? Actually, LCRDA does not have to do anything. It's not like this could be a legacy thing that after the money's gone, you're going to do anything. It won't happen. Turn over to the universities. It'd be very simple for an entity like the Office of Research Development at FSU to put together some basic and simple application materials for people to fill out. You don't want to be onerous. It doesn't need to have a lot of information. You really need to understand what the economic potential of this might be down the road, and then back it up from that and how you're going to do it step by step to get there. The Office of Research Development could manage this application process from beginning to end. It would obviously have to be reviewed. They have a list, I'm sure, of reviewers who potentially could review different proposals. You would take a look at what the subject matter is and then select some reviewers based upon that. You could involve reviewers from other universities, Florida universities most probably. And there are also kind of entities that do reviews. Oak Ridge National Labs has people who do this sort of thing and a setup in order to be able to do that. So reviewing them would not be a problem either. And so essentially, you make a decision to do this. You put research development in charge of coming up with things, advertise it, do all of the work, setting up deadlines for review and all of the rest, and you get some winners, and you write them a check. So basically, yeah. And again, in terms of policing it, it primarily would be done through the VPR, and the net result would be a significant amount of potential economic development activity that would not otherwise occur. In those details, is some level of indirect cost be allowed or not? Things like that. Those are all issues that are not significant and could easily be resolved. So that's kind of the idea of an alternate way to extend the final resources that LCRDA could have.
Question. Obviously, VPR, FSU, VPR, FAMU are going to want as much of this as they can get. Who's the decision maker, how that's divided?
Okay, there's two ways of doing that. You can have a single common competition, FSU plus FAMU, or if that was not satisfactory to the parties involved, you could have a separate FSU competition and a separate FAMU competition for half the money.
So I actually had some notes that were similar to that. It seems to me that if we were to divide the money between the two universities for similar programs, the risk that you may run is two different levels of review or review standards, and so that could get challenging. You also may have the same interesting idea apply for the same grant on both sides and get double the win. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that a joint administration of the funds, the entire bucket of funds, may be a more well-managed path. Mm-hmm. But having said that, there's a couple other things. One, there's a nuanced conversation about the decision to wind up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think we need to unpack that a little bit so that the executive team is familiar and that the conversation from the full board is, mm-hmm. is adequately described. Michael, can you,
yes.
Based on the language of the motion and the minutes that were...
I want to clarify this because I did get a call after the last board meeting that said, somebody asked me, the community, I heard you guys decided to dissolve. And that was not what was decided at the board meeting, to clarify. And I'm going to read you something I wrote, and I don't know if we share this with the full board or not, but basically the decision was at its regularly scheduled February 6th Board of Governors meeting, the Leon County Research and Development Authority reaffirmed its decision to continue the distribution of its leased assets, a process that began in December 2023. The decision was based on the belief that the major universities are better positioned to leverage both the developed and undeveloped assets for the benefit of our community. In addition, the Board of Governors agreed that upon completion of that exercise, and in coordination with Leon County, to initiate the process of dissolving. So we have not decided to dissolve. We decided that when we would complete that process of the leased assets, we would initiate that process in coordination with Leon County. The expectation is that any formal dissolution request will not occur until a final audit has been started and the only remaining assets are cash and unencumbered real estate. Mm-hmm. Between now and such dissolution request, the Board of Governors plans to prepare and vote on formal recommendations regarding how any remaining assets shall be used to promote scientific research and economic development in Leon County and the region consistent with the LCRDA mission. That's kind of my version of a press release of what we did to deal with folks. When are you guys closing the doors? Because no process has been started of dissolution. We did not, the motion did not reflect that. And so I'm sensitive because you started off with your today. I know that's not the topic of Eric's thing. I'm sorry to jump off. Was that we decided to dissolve. That's not what happened. And so I'm trying to deal with that. I didn't know you were going to say that. I just know that it's some of the questions I've got.
Okay, and perhaps I misspoke, but the idea is to put this in the basket for consideration.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. Yes.
And I think that's exactly the way I put it, because
and that's
we've
what
got some other ideas as well that I've heard. And,
I think the point really with what Eric's done is, I think at a full board meeting and this meeting as well, is do we want to consider taking some of the leftovers, for lack of a better term, and using them in some way to benefit economic development, research in this community? And I think that's would be an overwhelming yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mechanical issues of how actually to do that. And then we're also coming up with assignments, frankly, for FSU and for FAM. So there's a coordination effort there. But I think the concept of, do we want this money to go back into a pot with the county? Do we want it just to be divided by the universities? We're not 100% sure what authority we have to control some of that anyway. So I don't want to get out in front of that and then be apologizing to folks for what we couldn't deliver. Mm-hmm. But I think the conversation, the leftovers, the board should have some recommendation, which we did talk about at the board meeting, to the county of what should happen with that money.
And to be really clear, I really like your idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it speaks directly to the mission and the purpose and the intent of what we were supposed to do as LCRDA. So I think it absolutely needs to be in the basket. I think it needs to be properly placed following a decision that needs to be made at some point in the future on the actual, start of the...
Yeah, this was really primarily an opportunity or an effort. And I emailed this shortly after the meeting to Michael, suggesting that... there can be other ways. This is something. And to comment a little bit on your issue or your point relative to one big competition versus multiple ones, that the criticism you're likely to get if you're going to have a single and I would prefer that one, where you have a single competition between investigators from FAMU and FSU, might be that one or the other would think they'd have an unfair advantage. The other one might have an unfair advantage over them. Whether that's true or not, it depends. You'd prefer to fund your best ideas, regardless of where they came from. But if that became a breaking point, a deal breaker, then it would easily be possible to split it into two parallel competitions.
And maybe the Goldilocks between those two is to say, if you've applied at one and you received the grant, then
you can't
get it from the other side as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I think we're running down the path of the technical operation of this thing. All we wanted, I think you wanted to get across is everybody
is
receptive to this concept of something?
Yes.
I think what I'm hearing is yes.
And frankly, just for complete exposure, I have said nothing to Stacy Patterson nor to the Office of Research Development.
Good.
Suggesting that they were going to be in charge of this. If it ever got to that point, then it would be a relative comment.
I don't think it'd be an objection. I just want to make sure we're not over our skis.
Right. And I think this needs to be in the pot of things that we consider at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's the only thing in the pot right now.
Well, there's a couple of other ideas.
I got another idea. Yeah, but same idea, but similar. No. Okay. Excellent.
Cool. Anyway, that's it.
Terrific.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted Eric to be able to come and present this himself.
Yeah. And you're welcome to stay.
No, I think I'll to Jared and myself.
Okay. Right. Dave, did you have something for Eric?
No, I'm going to make a motion that this be forwarded to the board for further consideration as one of perhaps several alternatives for our dissolution.
That's fine.
I mean, all right, I'll second it.
Yeah. I didn't know we had to formally do it.
Yeah, we can forward it. It's,
yeah, okay.
Dave's super formal, so there you go.
Yeah. All in favor?
In your discussion, right, okay. You said cash, let's say, and marketable securities.
It says cash and unencumbered real estate, yeah.
Okay.
But in it's all prime. Securities. Everything's in cash.
Yeah.
In prime.
Maybe a better place to ask this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. Should we think about going ahead and selling Eisenhower?
We certainly could.
Selling our what?
Selling Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah.
Or putting it on the market.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yep.
We could. Attempting to sell.
Okay, well, let's think about that, because are we... the RDA is not financially motivated.
No, not really.
So we need to think about how that property ultimately is used to accomplish the mission and the purpose of the RDA, which goes back to research and economic development. What I wouldn't want to do is have that property go on the market and then get sold to an industrial use that has nothing to do with the mission.
But in an industrial use, economic development?
When there was about to be the unless either the money that was received from the sale was somehow routed back into a program like what Eric just described, or there's a clear path to the economic development. If somebody wanted to buy it because they wanted to land bank and have 20 acres of land, they had no intent of doing anything for another 20 years.
That's a different story.
So I think that we need to understand how it ultimately, a disposition of the property ultimately meets with the mission and the vision of the RDA.
I mean, at present time, and again, look, we're making some assumptions of what we'll have at date certain things will be completed. We don't need the cash to operate today. If we had $3 in the bank, I think it would be more pressing to say we got to get that thing on the market and sold. But we're not in that position. At some point, if we're a year from now, we might want to really consider that to generate cash to keep going to get some things done. Hopefully, we won't be in that circumstance. But we don't need more cash. The question is that asset valuable in the dissolution? Not knowing exactly how that's going to work, does it become one element of? Because if we go back to our charter, remember, FAMU and FSU, right? That's what it says. Now, we don't know for sure if the county is going to follow that precisely, but there are potentially could be two things of relatively equal value.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has more interest in one than the other, but we certainly could. I could talk to John McNeil, who's the one who gave me the value and the estimate, and say, hey, man, you want to list this thing and see if we get any action? I don't know if that – well, and I don't know if that's a – it's probably a board decision. Probably
yeah, it is. Not a board decision, yeah. I'm sure. But I was just thinking, you know, if this piece had been available when residential elevators started talking, it might have been a done deal, and we might have a big manufacturer that does do a lot for economic development.
Have they run their course, residential elevator?
It's gone, yeah.
It's, well, I mean, I talked to Tom Hansen the last 30 days. I met with Lawton. He's looking at a site. I put him in touch with David Self, who's the general counsel at FAMU, about a site they have. So, yeah, they're still looking to come to Tallahassee.
I thought they had settled on those two.
No, if he had, we wouldn't be calling me. Yeah. So he's still he's still chasing. Lawton space isn't available until 2026 because it's got a tenant on it out here. But this week I had him and David Self and another person from FAMU, and FAMU engaged right away in the conversation. So we'll see. He likes the parcel across from the Collins building, that big one, that's high one. He's not as interested in the one down here. So I said he's going to have to work through FAMU on that.
Good.
So we'll see. I don't know if anything happens with it, but they did respond.
They have no interest in Eisenhower?
Nope.
Too small?
I don't know. It's not that small.
No, it's not too small.
It's 18 acres. I don't know.
So I think, back to your point, though, I think it's a conversation the board needs to discuss so that we're paying attention. What is the path?
Yeah. Well, here's the issue with you know, if we wait till we're out of money, it'll take 6 or 8 or close 10 it, months yeah. to sell.
For sure.
You know, and so, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And if we're thinking about it in those terms, you know, and maybe, let's bring it up to the board.
It's certainly, it's not a bunch of effort to list it and try and sell that property. Right. That's really no work on our behalf.
And particularly if the intent is to direct it back to a program
right.
like
it'd be consistent with yeah. whatever we plan to do.
At right.
Yeah.
We don't need a motion on that. We just direct it to be on the agenda.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And we didn't have any public comment, I'm sure.
Yep.
Can we get a motion for the minutes of the September 19th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Number 8, the consent agenda. Let's see, we got.
It was just the minutes of the audit committee report, is what your consent yeah. agenda item. There's not approving the audit, you're just approving the minutes.
All right.
All right. Move consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, Dave, you're up.
Well, we all saw the audit. Again, a very favorable audit. I compliment staff. Ine, thank you for your hard work on all of these things. It keeps us straight. Pass on our compliments over to the folks that back you up. But sure, I guess maybe last 12 years we've had virtually a perfect audit. And so, again, very complimentary of Michael, your team, and all the things that have preceded you. As far as the financial report, nothing really jumps out. It's the same thing we've talked about before. Expenses are exceeding revenues. Staff is still expecting to end the year with $1 million of cash and marketable securities. Other than that, if you have any particular question, I and or staff will be glad to answer them, but much is more and more of the same.
Do we need a motion to approve that report, Dave?
I place the report as a motion for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mike, you're up.
I am. Just a couple of things I would add just to Dave's report briefly is that, just so you guys have reference, we're running $55,000 lower in expenses year to date than yeah. we had budgeted. We are running $70,000 short of revenue, but if you'll recall, I budgeted $200,000 of revenue associated with FEMA proceeds. Those will not come in as a revenue item. They'll come in at a negative to CapEx. So we've already gotten $100,000 from insurance and FEMA. So I'm really running ahead. It's not going to reflect that. So we're in better shape cash-wise than we thought we'd be right now.
Yeah.
It's just that it's just not going to be reflected that way on the financials and the balance sheet. It does
now, work. Is that 55 that you're running lower. Ahead, is it going to continue at that pace till the end of the year, or is that?
Yeah, expenses will probably run lower, maybe not quite at that pace. We do have a payout to Bill in there because we paid a couple extra months early, so it's a little bit front-loaded right now, but we're still ahead. We'll be lower in expenses.
Is the lower expenses primarily because the salaries is reduced?
Salaries were reduced, and just operating expenses have been a little bit lower. Okay. Now, we'll get utility bills. The longer we have this building, right, because remember, the budget had contemplated, if you guys recall, that what's more remarkable to me, that's perfect. What's interesting is that, you're now talking a couple of months after that we thought we'd already transferred this building, and we're still running ahead. That may reverse by the time we get through summer months and have $25,000 utility bills. Mm-hmm. We're running at $12,000, $14,000 utility bills this time of year. Staffing-wise, we're going to come under, so that's going to peel off, frankly, about $12,000 a month from expenses that were in the budget. You know, we'll be close.
Can you address the holdup on the transfer?
I wish. And we'll get to that. But again, so I've got now, when we talk about end of the year, $1 million, that is assuming that we own this lab until that day. Yeah. Now, I have not gotten into projecting October, November, December of this year.
Fiscal year, calendar year?
Fiscal year. Fiscal year, when I'm talking about that, having that million to million one.
Yeah.
So, and we're working on it, but I'll come to the status of that, if you will. The other thing that we didn't mention is that the audit's completed and the annual financial report to the state is being filed as we speak, and it'll be done within the next day or two. That's an obligation we have every year, okay? Sorry, okay, now to the lab, number 10. Just quickly to let you know, FF&E, we're down to about $320,000 left to spend. which is great. Obviously, everything we're doing, we bought some dishwashers, we bought a mass spec, we bought a computer to run the mass spec. We're just buying equipment, and we're working, obviously, very closely with the FSU folks that are in the lab to identify that equipment. As far as members go, it's been slow. Piersicka did pick up an extra room, so now they're paying $5,000 a month. They're a major tenant, basically, in the building. We've got two other small tenants. We've got a guy supposed to start in hopefully May, taking one office, but it's been slow going. FSU is driving and running that vetting process. They involve me in all those conversations, but they're really the ones coordinating that.
And does that revenue feed to us since we still own the building?
At present, yes.
Yeah.
There is some ambiguity in the language of the agreements we have with them on what should in fact happen. So I am working. It's not enough to fight over, but right now that is also helping our financials, frankly, yeah. Is that I'm picking up $6,000-$7,000 a month
yeah.
that we had budgeted zero for. There's multiple ways to read the document, sadly.
Not to digress too much, sure. But what do the three tenants do? What's Piersicka do?
They're working on a battery, taking lithium-ion batteries and expanding the size, the power, and the duration of the battery life. Think about it in a drone application. I want to be able to go faster, and I want to go further, and I want to go for longer.
Okay.
And so you've got to keep it light and small to do that. And that's one of the big challenges with lithium-ion batteries is that the only way to go further is to get bigger. And so now I'm getting a longer, more powerful battery, but I'm adding weight, which then affects the flight of the drone. Okay. So they've got some funding. They've just gotten $2 million worth of funding, so they keep adding some space. Okay. We're probably at almost our limits with those guys because they've got four offices. I mean, four lab space. No, they don't have any office space. They're just using labs. They've got a chem lab. I mean, so they brought some equipment, and if you guys walk around, they're the ones that have that glove box, and if you look in the windows, I mean, they've got stuff going on. The other one is Eric Graben, who was in the old building. He does a chemical assay project. He's actually about to take another office as well. He's also the one that runs, and we bought some of the used mass spec and freezers from, so he operates those for us, and it'll do the training as we get people using it. And the last one is Lawrence Binder, who's got this first lab up here where you see the mummy.
Yep.
He does remote surgical training for physicians. It's not high tech, but what he's used, the ability is that he could train a surgeon from here on doing certain things that somebody could be somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
So that's it. He's got that space, and he's already prepaid for the year, almost 11 months.
Good. Okay.
He doesn't show up.
Yeah. And he comes only at nights and weekends, it seems. So he's never here.
Is there much prospect for much interest now?
We've had interest. FSU is being very diligent in terms of fitting what they want in the lab based on the equipment we have, the type of tenant they want. So we've had some interest from folks that just didn't make sense. You know, probably if we were in charge of the lab, we'd let some of these folks in because we wanted the cash.
Yeah.
Right. So, which again is, you know, that's... They know how to do this, obviously, between Valerie and Alyssa and Bradley. They know what they're doing, and they're just trying to make sure folks are complimentary in terms of tenant mix.
Good.
And so they're being done. Calls have certainly perked up since the first of the year.
And who do the calls come to?
They come sometimes to Alyssa, sometimes to me.
Okay.
Yep. And, I get them and I forward them to her. And I always have an initial conversation just because people are saying, hey, tell me what's going on in North Florida Innovation Labs. And if they sound like somebody that's reasonable, I'll forward them to Alyssa, and she's kind of a vetting questionnaire and a process to move through. Because what really they're trying to do, and frankly has turned some people off, is they want them to go through all the programming, the training, the part of what FSU and what the model of this lab, frankly, was to do is not just provide space. It was supposed to be part of a community and supposed to provide training on HR, legal, mezzanine financing, how do you take this and get a patent on it? All those things are really part of what Ignite's grant is also for. And so they're trying to develop entrepreneurs, even if this business venture that they're working on today isn't the one that works. So people have to sign up and say, yes, I will participate in all the training.
I got you.
And they're also fleshing out the training because they're building this plane as they're flying it a little bit, right?
They're training over here
yeah.
or back on campus?
Here.
Here,
okay. Yep, but they bring in people. They're doing speaker series here. They brought in a patent guy not too long ago. They brought in somebody else. Escapes me a little bit. They brought in some speakers here to do stuff, and they 20 people show up, but it takes a while. That was all I had on the lab, IPTLH. If anybody's got any other questions on that, on the RDA in general, just talking about a little bit FSU and FAMU, the out parcel that Danfoss has 50 years left on the lease. That is on Dustin Daly's desk at FSU to sign to transfer that ownership of that fee simple property from us to FSU for $10. I don't Dustin's got a lot going on, obviously, right now, but I'm waiting on him to sign that. But we've certainly drafted that document. You asked about lab, and the lab in particular, and build a scale. We are only working on the lab right now. I talked to the EDA people. They didn't want to put the two grants together in the same exercise. Those involve two different folks. He said that would slow it down. They have got all of our documentation. They have reached out to me and to Valerie with some document requests. We have complied with ours. I'm leaning on Valerie every other day to get hers completed so that we can get this back into the EDA. So they're cooperating. They're asking for information. I will lean on her again today. She's got obviously a lot of obligations as part of her job, and so this is an extra one. But we're trying to keep that moving.
I guess that's at risk of being downsized.
The EDA?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that's maybe we're worried about somebody who's all of a sudden losing our contacts. Fortunately, we still have our two main contacts are still working there and being very responsive, both of them this week, actually. Yep. So we'll push as fast as we can. Remember, what happens is we got to get the EDA on board, then we're still going to have to navigate the DEP exercise, which fortunately so far has been relatively painless. We just got to memorialize it. And in that vein, if you guys recall, we originally planned to get the lab moved first, and then the last thing we do would be ponds and roads. I drafted this week. Kevin took a peek at this just to make sure the language looked okay. A letter to the DEP, maybe doing the ponds and roads first.
Just because.
Just to keep that moving.
Yeah.
You know, that's just to try and have something moving through DEP that's got to be done. And again, just because in my head or our head, we had envisioned it a certain path, if that's not happening fast enough, then we'll just take this other path and then we'll do the lab last.
Good.
That doesn't have a financial implication to get this done, but it gets it off our list.
Yep.
Just the property transfer.
Yeah, and there's a different complexity with the roads and ponds and common areas because of what we've talked about is that all the declarant rights would go with that tranche. And so there's just a different set of variables that we have to work through. I would say that Melissa will end up working closely with Dustin Daly at FSU. Dustin has done this same exercise in the past when FSU acquired the Civic Center and there were some development rights that had to port over. And so there's already a path. It's not new territory. So it's just different variables, and that'd be good to get.
And we don't want to forfeit any of those things either, because they have real value to the park as a whole. The other thing, FSU and FAMU will have to work out what they want to do on CAM and some other things, which would just be really an agreement between the parties. It's not going to involve DEP or anybody else. It's just a matter that box has to be checked.
And okay, so this is chasing a bit of a squirrel, but I was looking at the city is in the process of updating its comprehensive plan. They have a proposed updated future land use map. And I was noticing this morning, for an unrelated reason, I was noticing this morning that the Innovation Park area is coded at the same color that most of campus is, which means that it has a fairly high density and intensity of its future land use. And so when we think about what that means in terms of development and entitlements and development rights and so on and so forth, there is an expectation that some of those things need to happen out here long term, and we would, to Michael's point, we want to make sure that we preserve all of that so that we have the authorities to have those projects permitted.
So anyway, the original question, if I can get what I need from Valerie rolling in the next 10 days, we're going to stay on the original plan. If we can't, I'm going to go ahead and jump that
one. Start
on the ponds and roads. I mean, the only wrinkle on the ponds and roads, frankly, is we've had everything out here surveyed except the roads. And so part of the reason we were doing the roads last is I was going to say...
Just leftover.
Leftover. You get the leftovers. But so now I'm saying I need you to take... Here's what the letter we wrote that I'm playing around with was, here's what we're still keeping. You're taking everything that's not this. So it's just, and the DEP, this is a language they speak, so I'm making it sound like they're not going to understand. They will easily understand. But the Build to Scale grant is still sitting off on an island by itself for the moment, too. We're not doing anything on that. We're not really using it. It has a time date that it's supposed to be consumed by, which is October of this year, if I'm not mistaken. So FSU is going to have to file a no-cost extension. I got to get the building done before the Build to Scale can go.
I got you.
Insurance, just quickly, insurance, we had already given FSU the $30,000 of insurance proceeds we got. FAMU finally did sign my release last week. So I've got a check for them for $69,000 that I just signed yesterday, so I'll call David Self so we can get that to him. So that's some of our cash. I'm also had a check drafted yesterday to Florida State for $138,000, which is what we owe them for all the rents we've collected since. So I've got that check, and I'll give it to Kevin today. Hopefully he'll hide it in his briefcase for a couple of weeks, but we'll deal with that. And Eisenhower, my note here said we take no activity. I was going to give an update on that. Obviously, we talked about that earlier. And that's all I had on the RDA existing business, unless anybody's got any questions on anything.
All right.
Okay.
New business. I'm going to let you start.
Melissa changed firms. She's left Nelson Mullins. She started at Kutak Rock last Monday. She sent me a letter wanting to know, and it's just an amendment to our existing agreement, moving all of our legal relationships to her and with Kutak Rock. I had signed that. She signed it. Kutak signed it, but I knew that it ratified since it's our general counsel. So I'd like that. I don't know if we approve that for the full board to be ratified. I'm not sure the exact process. But it's really, it's a very benign.
Have they maintained the same fee structure?
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to change. I'm not willing to change horses in the middle of everything we're doing.
Completely agree.
You have a motion?
Motion to
continue.
Continue with Kutak under the same terms.
Yep. So it's just an amendment to an existing agreement.
Aye.
That could probably be on consent, I guess.
Yes.
The full board.
I think I would just mention that.
Yep.
But
okay. FEMA, just to update. We had a good call with FEMA in the last week or two. Lori Campbell from Talcor and I have been working with them trying to, you know, figure out how to navigate FEMA. And what we've learned from those guys is that the Pond and Trail, the Collins Building, and the Johnson and Morgan Building, certainly the Morgan Building, we're working on Johnson Building, are all eligible for a 75% reimbursement of costs to kind of repair them to as good or better than they were before that tornado. In the respect to the ponds and trails, we think it's about a $50,000 fix to really put it all back together and dial up what they call the millings that are around the pond, make it safer, you know, fix all of the sloping areas, get a bunch of garbage out of the pond, frankly, that got flushed into the pond. We'll get reimbursed $37,500 on that. So we cost the RDA $12,500 to bring that pond back to the position it needs to be in as an asset to the park, frankly. My recommendation would be that the board, the exec committee, advance that and we get that moving as quickly as possible. I think that's well within the scope of what we do here. We still control that pond. We have the $12,500. Now, I think it's a reimbursement model, so we'll spend the $50, get the $37,500 back is the way to work.
So I'm 100% in support of that. I would be aggressive in making sure that we pick up absolutely everything that we can under that 75-25 split.
Right.
Is that something that needs to have a motion, or is that administrative and we can move it forward? I mean, I'm glad
you tell me. I'm spending 50, or am I spending 12.5?
Why don't
we just move it and put it on consent?
Motion.
Okay.
Dave.
Any objection?
Okay. All in favor, aye.
The other thing I'm working on behalf, frankly, of FSU and FAM, is since they're eligible for those things, we're trying to move everything as far as we can, so that we can ultimately say, here, FSU, for you investing another, because they got $30,000 for Morgan Building for the insurance proceeds, they may have to tack on another $30,000 and they get a full-blown new roof other than that. So they'd be in for $30,000 for a brand new roof. Collins, right now FAMU takes our $60,000 that I've got for them, and they can get a whole brand new roof on that building. It's $250,000 for a full new metal roof.
Plus, they only
have to pay 25%, which we just covered with the insurance proceeds. The only open project right now on that is Johnson. Somehow, what we submitted, they didn't have it in the final stuff, so we've amended the documents to include the Johnson proposal as well, which would be for FSU's benefit. So we'll see. But we're trying to keep those intact and coordinated with the same two people we're working with at FEMA. I don't know exactly how that handoff ultimately works to get them out, but that's part of the reason I wanted to start with the pond project and get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get that one done.
Do you need a direct contact at facilities or are you talking with somebody directly?
I am, and it's Jacoby, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it Jim Jacoby?
Well, he's under facilities. He's the insurance guy under facilities. Do we need to have somebody on the project management side?
We will. Okay. We will. But not yet, though, until I get, especially because I want to get Johnson wrapped up in here.
When it's time, yep. Let me make that reintroduction if you need that.
I will. National Park Service. I don't know if you guys read the paper recently, but we were one of the sites of about 60 or 70 that they will be vacating. It doesn't give a time horizon at all. As you guys know, the RDA does not control that piece of property anymore. Having said that, they continue to pay us monthly rent. And that's really the large bulk of the $138,000 we're going to move over to FSU this week is related to the rents associated with that. Back to September, they continue to pay us. We've told them we don't own it. They continue to pay us. We did execute, at their request, urgent request, an amendment or an extension to their existing lease for another 24 months, right, with a 60-day cancellation. This all happened early February. We executed it. They were all over us about an extension. They would not have any interest whatsoever in FSU executing the extension, since even though they own it, but their name wasn't on anything. So I executed that. But now they have not countersigned it, given what's going on. They do have holdover rights under their existing lease, so my expectation is that on the 3rd of April, we will get a check for the old rent, and that will continue until they decide to do something different. But it sounds like, by all accounts, without any timing, that they do plan to vacate that building. Well, I have no idea where those 9 million things go. I was hoping you might be interested in some of them. So I don't know the answer.
Is there a fee for holdover, or is it straight?
Yeah, that's why we tried to... We proposed a much, more attractive rent for a shorter term, and the flexibility for them to move out in 60 days. I mean, the rent premium we were trying to do was, but they really have all the flexibility they want right now.
Michael shared the nuts and bolts of what has occurred since September. The rest of it is you really can't make this up. I mean, it's hard to imagine all the different hurdles and the hoops that we've jumped through trying to work with them. It is beyond complicated, and it's even more bizarre than that. It's just fully bizarre.
The whole exercise has been insane.
And so Michael says that he signed it prior to the deadline, my recollection was the deadline was February 17, and I think the RDA, Michael signed it
11 or 12.
Yep. And then they went silent on us. Then we found out that, first thing we found out after that was that from the executive order, that 60% of the 1,500 federal buildings are being sold. And so that was part of it. This building is leased, it's not owned. They came back with another list of leased properties that they're going to vacate, which we are on that, which begs the question, there's a partially signed lease for property that the RDA no longer owns, that FSU does control, but FSU has no signature authority over it with the federal government, and there's 9 million things sitting in the building.
Yep.
And nobody has an answer.
Yep. And they were the ones rushing the extension
up until that
week. Because I only had it they sent it to me on a Friday, I signed it on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't have it long. And they agreed to
run. They're the ones who dragged your feet more than anybody.
Well, we got hung up thinking they'd be willing to negotiate with the actual owner. My rookie move was that I thought they actually would like to speak to the people who own the building, and obviously I don't know what I'm doing.
And in fairness, I've traded text with a new guy at NPS, not GSA, but at NPS this week, so that hopefully there's some, a spark, an ember that we
can. Yeah. And we started this really in October.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, we started this early. Yep. And I started it two and a half years ago when I told you you have 2 years left on your lease. February of 2023, I'd been here up 6 weeks. I went and met with those guys and said, look, my rumor has it you got 9 million things here. It seems like it'll take a long time to move them. Do you want to renew? And they go, we'll get back to you. And then I did it again a year later.
Do you know what they have? I mean, is it artifacts and stuff like that?
But some of it's just like a jar of dirt.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I mean there's
an old canoe.
Yeah, part of a canoe or a part of a pottery, you know, part of a pottery or something. It's through fragments of stuff. There's some big stuff, but it's lots of fragments.
So there's two systems of shelving, generally speaking. There's what's open, and then there's the compressed. Most of theirs is the compressed. It's on those massive shelves that roll
together. Stacked
together. And to Michael's point, the jar of dirt, there are a bunch of Ziploc baggies,
yep.
Research Ziploc baggies, that have dirt in them. And it's so heavy that that's why the slab broke in that building. It's a massive amount of stuff.
And it's also the reason there are two $100,000 air conditioning units in that vault. One is redundant, of course. Because you have to keep the humidity at 50%. So the real interesting thing would happen if tomorrow one of those breaks. They got no lease, they got no time. We're in a holdover. I mean, it's a weird dynamic to put themselves in, and frankly to put the artifacts in that position.
And to be clear, the RDA's responsibility right now is they are against. The RDA, against its will, is receiving rent payment that is due to FSU. And so the RDA's responsibility is to navigate that. That's really no more, no less. That's where we're at.
Right. So, but weird.
It is.
And then the last thing I had on there was the planning discussion. Obviously, Eric talked about his things. A couple things that I just want to make sure everybody's aware of, and I'm sure I've shared these before. I am hoping that we will spend all the FF&E between now and September 30. The reason being that we can button that up in an audit year so that if TSC, who got us this grant, ever gets audited, we've got a clean and single, all those things will be buttoned up in a fiscal year period for us as opposed to something. Now, we can do it in a variety of other ways, but that just seems like the neatest possible way to do that. Now, I don't just want to buy stuff for the sake of buying stuff. And like I said, FSU is really helping navigate that exercise. But just for you guys, the more responsible we can be and minimize any risk or problem for TSC, I think is warranted just because they were the ones who got us that funding.
Are there some big things that...
Yeah, some of them are. But some of them, frankly, and this is where I push back on things with FSU, is there's things they would like to do. And I'm like, that's not really FF&E.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's, you know, it's got to be FF&E. It can't be... I want to, you know, the floor, I don't think the floors fall under FFE. If I shake the building, the coating the floors with a chemical doesn't really come out. So that's, anyway, so we're trying to figure that. They've got a long list, and they're working with Valerie to finalize that. And they remember, we've cranked through 1.1 million and change already. So we're moving pretty good. I was going to give you a bent, my two cents, as we talk about the future planning, that Eric's initial conversation with me several weeks ago prompted me to think about was what if one of the considerations for the whatever's left over, if you will, was a scholarship fund that was used solely for folks who needed a break getting into this lab. That it would be you qualified, you have an interesting idea, I don't have enough money to pay my rent for a year in the lab, and this fund, again, it would have to be administered by FSU Real Estate Fund, you know, whoever, I mean, FSU, FSR, who's doing, running the lab. But they could actually, then the money would be going back into this lab, back into the park, and it would be, they'd have to meet some standards. We wouldn't, I don't want to get into the details of how it's operated, but I wanted a scholarship or a fund to be used solely for the purpose of potential tenants, opportunities, ideas in this park, in this lab. Mm-hmm. And I think that it makes, FSU gives them a benefit of having that money to use for people they'd like to be in who can't afford it.
Yep.
And it's us, I think it's within scope and within mission of the RDA. Now, how much that is, whether that's palatable, whether that's more or less interesting or parallel to what Eric's suggesting, I'm trying to think something simple. We're not going to be able to put a lot of strings on stuff. We're going to be not around. So I just wanted it to be easy. And that's a pretty clean one. This has got to be used for people who, tenants, potential tenants in the lab. That was my twist a little bit on what Eric started with.
Not a grant to anybody, but just
a fund to be used for that.
And I mean, frankly, we could blend the two or three or four or five.
Right, and you could remember, and the nice thing about the lab, of course, if it's a FAMU IP or FAMU, they're eligible for that because it's a scholarship to the lab. It's not trying to be an FSU thing.
Yeah. So one of the things that came up when Eric was talking, he mentioned Taxol, and I'm curious, at under the structure that he proposed, how are winners and losers picked? And that's something for the research folks to understand through the application process. But I like the idea of potentially somehow blending the two ideas, because if ultimately what happens is there's money available for great ideas that could be incubated here in the lab, all of that makes a tremendous amount of sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a little twist on that. And again, at some point we have to engage the universities in that. And my only hesitation with some of those is I don't want somebody counting money that may or may not be there. I don't really know how much it's going
to
be.
We right. still have to also get the county involved. I mean, that's a...
Right. Yeah. Maybe. That's right. And we haven't had that conversation yet.
So we got to... I mean, I think we just keep these the list of ideas right. until we have some certainty on what's going to happen, and then
yep.
go to the county and make our pitch for what we believe yep. in and hope they bite on some of it.
And the other option, frankly, will be as we get closer, we really take a look at this and figure out how we are certainly allowed to buy property without the county's approval. We're allowed to sell property. We're allowed to transfer property. They have not been in,
right.
They have not played a role in these transfers to FSU. So we have a certain amount of authority on our own to do certain things, but I tend to be reluctant to going and asking for permission when it's not needed. And so we just need to decide at what point in time we're prepared to move forward with things that we think further the interest and the mission of the RDA, period.
That's our job.
That's yeah. right. Dissolution is somebody else's problem.
But you got the other unknown of what's going to be left, if any. Hopefully there's some left.
That's right. But,
I mean, there's certainly Eisenhower's left if we don't get it on the market and sell it. So.
Right.
Are we reaching a point where having reduced so much stuff flowing through here that we might not want to reconsider consider renewing our contract with Calcor for county services and all? Is that something we can begin to absorb here and cut out some more expense?
We certainly could. I've negotiated that way down from what it was. Yeah, we pay them $1,800. Well, we pay $1,000 a month for the administrative stuff they do for us, back up paying bill, you know, writing checks and doing some of that stuff.
Yep.
And then we pay another $800 for the CAM exercise, running the park still, because we still do a lot of CAM. Remember, we collect $100,000 a year
yep.
for CAM.
Yep.
And then we pay hourly for Dominic's time, exclusively related to what he does here at the lab. Something breaks, he meets a guy with the fire system. I mean, Dominic still does a lot of that. The only thing we could really pull off of a Talcor completely would be we could say we'll do our own paychecks, we'll do our own payroll. That's right. And we could save, you know, $1,000 a month.
I'm just saying, let's put that in the pot for consideration.
Sure. Absolutely. That would be more on INE, obviously, to do, but there's only three people we pay. Yeah. Payroll's easy.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
And then as far as writing checks, we're down to writing, this was a big one, but we probably write 30 checks a month mm-hmm. total.
We just need to make sure we keep separation of duties in there.
Yeah, well, remember, that's how you ended up with Talcor.
Yeah, right. I know.
So,
I don't know.
And that CAM exercise is some work.
Yeah, it's pretty simple because we never hit the actual number. We're limited by the escalator. There's a fixed cap
oh, okay.
on how much it goes up every year, 3%. We do the calculation, which shows we should be at $1,000 an acre, but the most we could be right now is $759 okay. an acre. So next year it'll be $774.
Okay.
Doesn't go up much, but it generates okay. $100,000.
Good
for us.
Any other good for the order? Bless you, Jerry.
Have a good day, folks.